What are the riches of his glorious inheritance of the saints? Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And on the train to Auschwitz, a young Jewish writer named Eddie Helisium scribbled down one final note that she crumbled in a ball and tossed out the window to a friend below. This is what she wrote. Someone has to take responsibility for God in this situation. That is, someone has to behave as if God was real. Someone has to make God credible by the way that they meet life and death. Someone has to take responsibility for God in this situation. Eddie Helisium was on that train because she refused to go into hiding. Despite the growing anti-Jewish threat in the Netherlands, she believed it was her duty to stay behind and to aid others at the Westbrook transfer camp. So she took on this voluntary role with the Jewish Council to support those in the transit station. She described her experience there as, quote, living on the campsite and in an environment of cramped and noisy quarters, hospital and prison barracks, deprivation and food shortages, illness and lack of hygiene, and in the constant company of death. Today we are remembering the saints. In other words, we're remembering the people, past and present, who lived in a way that helped us believe that God is real. It isn't unusual that people who live like God is real, who really get into the business of forgiveness and love, it isn't unusual for these people to end up getting killed. And we all know why. Because if those people's love had gotten into other people, powers would crumble and nations would fall. If that love was set free, if it lived like that in every single one of us, the way of death would die. And that's bad news for people who assert their power through the power of death and destruction. And so people who love really well, they have to be stopped. And they're made a lesson of. Sometimes these people are simply caught up in the tide of destruction that comes from people who are powerless, because that's where they put their lives, with those people, and they end up facing the same fate. That's what happened to Eddie Helisium. On All Saints Day, I often remember how as a child, when I was unsure about this whole resurrection of the body thing, I'd always remembered that there were very smart and interesting people who seemed to hold on to this belief, even though they were astronomers and professors at Oxford. And even though I'm not as concerned about sort of checking those boxes of intellect anymore, I still need people to believe for me when I can't. I need people to keep God credible, even when I have nothing left in me. I need people to take God's responsibility when there's nothing at all credible about the church. The people who do this, we call them the communion of saints. Sometimes when we hear the word saint, we might think of someone who's especially good or especially pious or incredibly faithful. And sometimes that's the case. But being a saint for a church isn't a matter of being the best at believing stuff. Being a saint means that we carry faith for one another. And it seems, from Ephesians, we're inheritors of that faith that comes before us, of these riches of faith, Ephesians tells us. We are opulent with the faith that has come before us. And sometimes that happens in the most ordinary ways. I want you to hear this poem by Malcolm Geet. The ordinary saints, the ones we know, are too familiar family and friends. When shall we see them? Who can truly show, while still rough-hewn, the God who shapes our ends? Who will unveil the presence, glimpse the gold that is and always was our common ground, stretch out a finger, feel along the fold, to find the flaw, to touch and search the wound from which the light we never noticed fell into our lives? Remember how we turned to look at them and they looked back? That full-eyed love unselved us, and we turned around, unready for the wrench and reach of grace. But one day we will see them face to face. All Saints is when we remember those who have gone before us. The first person that I can clearly remember who died in my life was a volunteer in my middle school youth group. Her name was Lucy, and during remission from cancer, she'd become engaged to the youth pastor. They were both in their 20s and recent college grads. And that joy quickly turned to ashes, because sometime over that next year, when I was in sixth grade, Lucy's cancer returned. She and Josh married in a hospital bed a few days before she slipped into death. I remember being so sad. But what I remember even more is that Josh found a way to be angry at God and to love God and to love all of us all at the same time. And I guess there might be a bit of dying in that. There's a bit of dying to despair and to hopelessness that comes with that. Josh continued to show us how to grieve. He taught us how to grieve. And then he taught us that there are questions that we can never answer. Questions that can only be held in love. It turns out that most of the ordinary saints in my life didn't end up dying for their faith, at least in ways that were perceptible to me at the moment. Instead, I think of people like my friend's sister, Susan, who spent her whole life as a nun in the L'Arche community. There's some dying in that, in choosing a life of poverty, of learning how not to depend on your capabilities and embracing weakness. I think of the lawyers I know who spend their careers as public defenders making a fraction of what their corporate law counterparts earn. I think of my public school teachers who spent their lives caring for me and teaching me and helping me become a person who thinks and acts and grows. They did it with little money and so few resources. So many saints who've looked at the situation we're in, who saw the possibility to hoard resources and instead lived with an open hand and said, I am going to make God real with my life. In just a moment, we're going to receive communion together. It's a meal that has been passed down to us through generations. A ritual that is thousands of years old. It is the central ritual of our life as the church, and it's also a memorial service. I will say these words. When you eat or drink, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Those words are from 1 Corinthians, and we say them at the institution of our meal. Each time we eat and drink together, we are saying aloud, Jesus died. It's a bit macabre, isn't it? But we make this proclamation to remember that Jesus makes God real for us, for all of us. Jesus, who did not consider equality with God something to grasp, but instead took on a fleshy body of an impoverished infant. We remember Jesus' death in particular because he loved us so well, so perfectly, that the powers of his day destroyed him before that love swept through everything and everyone. But I have a secret to tell you. It turns out it was too late. It was too late. And we know that because of saints. We know that because someone has made Jesus real for you. I know that because someone took responsibility for God in my life. Someone has made God credible. And today we remember them and we give thanks. Amen.